This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
Those who feel and respond go upon emotionalism. Those who hear and respond follow intelligence. See the superiority of the message. Allah has corrected the message that went before. This is the superiority of the message. Al-Islam is superior. Look at an animal when it's in doubt or when it's feel its situation is threatened. Animal ears become very attentive. Hearing is a sign of attentiveness. Hearing indicates attentiveness, not emotionalism. The animal becomes still. It might be jumping around. Then hear. Emotions rest. Brain takes over. And look when we call that then. Where the hands go to the ears. In other words, this is a rational message, a rational religion, a religion that requires that the intellect be functioning, not just the emotionality. Very important. Very important. And they say, "Sami'na wa ata'na." We hear and we obey. What did Caesar say to his men? Countrymen, lend me your ears. Look how he addressed them. Lend me your ears. He was the ruler, the chief, sovereign ruler. But he didn't say, "I'm going to take your ears." He didn't say, "I demand your ears." He said, "Lend me your ears." He was polite, wasn't he? Polite. Why was he so polite? Because he was addressing men of intellect. See, what you don't know, in Roman language, countrymen is different language. Countrymen meant leaders. It is still the same for America. The people in the rural areas are the ones that the nation respects. The people in the metropolis are the ones that they mess over. Still the same. Countrymen, lend me your ears. And in the Quran, we are told to say, "Sami'na wa ata'na." We hear and we obey. Blessed is he who hear the word of the Lord. Is that not right? Didn't say, blessed is he who feel the word of the Lord. And in the church, they say, "Got the feeling?" They just be preaching and just keep asking, "Got the feeling?" So what about the hearing, man? So what do you all, put down the hearing? When you put down the hearing, you lose your speech. It's a condition that's followed by speechlessness, right? Yeah, because the child that's born and can't hear can't talk. You need hearing in order to speak. Now, since obedience follows perception, the human being is an intelligent creature. You're not supposed to respond before perception. If I say I need an eraser, don't just jump up and start moving. Perceive what I need first. But some happy, jolly folks that want to impress somebody ain't real. He just want to impress people, right? He may jump up and run over there and bring me the book. I say, no, it happened. I say, no, I didn't ask for the Quran. I asked for an eraser. He's not intellectually constituted. He's not intelligently constituted. He is emotionally constituted. So he just wanted to impress me. So when I said, someone bring me the eraser, he wanted to beat everybody, so he didn't hear good. He ran and brought me the Quran. I said, no, brother, I don't want the Quran. I want an eraser. He's sorry, buddy, man. I didn't hear. Right? Yeah. So to respond, you first need perception. Now, we know a lot of responses are involuntary, because Allah has talked just like this through genes over billions of years. for the heart is beating without perception. The pulse and the blood and the breathing, all these things, all these functions in the body without perception. And I'm without perception preceding it. And I'm moving around here at this stand for my comfort, for my convenience, without perception preceding my movement. Right? All of this is just automatic. Right? Right? Yeah. That's because this ain't in the plan. This here ain't in the plan. What my feet doing ain't in the plan. But what I'm teaching, what I'm saying, the words in the plan. And if I don't speak with perception preceding action, I'm going to have a faulty presentation. Oh, yes. Sense obedience. Sense obedience follows perception. And since all forms of language are heard before they are clearly perceived, you have to hear it first. You can't understand it. You can't speak it until you hear it. And since the sense of hearing is a condition for speech, correct perception best serves the need for correct responses. Attention on the requirements. That's what we need. Okay, what is this? What is communicated? What is communicated? Is there a need? Is there a need for involvement? What are the requirements? Let my mind focus on what is needed, what is required. Communication, life, for human beings, is an intelligent function. And if you don't gear your life to this kind of functioning, then you'll always be on the bottom of other people. You'll be at the bottom, other people above you. Attention on the requirements. Then, after attention on the requirements, what? Compliance in the needs. How can you serve my needs? You don't know the requirements. How can you answer order? You don't know what's asked. Huh? Send me out now. What I thought now? We hear. We obey. Correct our actions. Our adequate responses are preceded by careful attention. Careful attention. Don't be too hasty. Come to a conclusion. Make a judgment. Judge an individual. Hear him talk for 2 minutes and judge him. Look at his carriage, the way he walked in the place, and judge him. Don't be too hasty. Now, acting in response to a communication comes behind heeding, or comes behind attentively listening in an effort to know how to respond. Isn't that right? Yes! See, these out of the plan, these out of the methodology, these out of the circumstances actions, these lead your movement. They don't need this. But the world ain't built by the leisure makers. It's built by the intelligent thinkers. Right? Okay. So Allah says, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear. Of the believers. We hear and we obey. Hearing is heeding. Hearing is heeding. Hearing is given attention. I can give you an illustration of this fact very quickly. Because of experience. Have you ever been talking to someone and they didn't hear a thing you were saying? And they were right in your face? I know you have, because this time is worse than ever. My mother and father and my grandparents didn't tell me about no time like this one. I mean, for hearing. People can't hear nowadays, man. They be sitting down looking at the television. And you say, is that the news? They don't hear a thing. You say, isn't that something burning in the kitchen? They don't hear a thing. The smoke alarm come on, and they don't hear a thing. Somebody in the house who's not hypnotized have to go and tend to the matter in the kitchen and open the window so the smoke can go out. And they be sitting there crying from the smoke and still don't know the smoke alarm went off. Why? Because their mind has become disattached. Their mind has become totally disattached. The attachment to the television has totally disattached their mind from the rest of the environment. And you can make $1 million transaction right by them, and they wouldn't tell because they wouldn't know. So what is required to hear? Attentiveness. To hear, you got to be attentive. That's why the teacher in school, they know who's learning. That little boy that ain't giving attention. Say, look, you're going to fail. I've been trying to get you to pay some attention. Say, you're going to fail because you're not listening. All right. And in the military, all commands start from or issue from what? Position of attention. You don't start commanding your troops before you say, troops, attention. Then you start giving them commands. And other attention, get their attention first, then you can order them. Because you don't want no clumsy cadence, clumsy demonstration of the cadence, or the execution of the cadence, do you? No, in the military, you're serious. You don't want that dude to do the bebop when you tell him to move ahead half step. You don't want him to start bebopping. So you got to have his attention. Attention! Listen now, let your whole mind, the hearing is the sense functioning or sense experience in us that utilize the most of our being. See, when you're feeling something, it doesn't utilize as much as your being as when you hear it. It doesn't require as much as your concentration to feel something as it does to hear something. That's what I mean by that. When you're hearing, it requires more of your being, more of your what you call it, more of your utility. You have to bring all of your utility into play, into action, to attention, to hear. That's why the animal, when he's hearing, sometimes even his tail will get stiff. His whole body shows sign that he's trying to hear. Right? Yeah. Everything is perfectly still because he needs complete attention to hear. And the church think it's feeling that gets the whole body. No, it just gets the churchy side. To get the practical side, appeal to their hearing as the scripture did in the beginning. The Christians made a mistake. And that's what Allah says in the Quran. They made a mistake. They missed the mark. Because the Jacobites deceived them. Have you ever noticed when something grates on your hearing, it can send uncomfortable vibrations all through your whole nervous system? Right? Yeah. You hear something that grates on the hearing. It's not pleasant. It can send bad sensitivity, bad sense experience throughout your whole body. And when you're hearing, I know if I speak right into your ear, you hear it in your ear. But as you're hearing my voice now, try to locate where it's going. Where's my voice going? It ain't, you say ear? No. No, you don't feel it in your ear. You feel it in your heart. Hearing goes to the heart. And only when somebody right up to your ear does it register in the ear. But when someone speaks to you, it registers in the center of your being, in the center of your body. Because the nervous system, it registers upon the nervous system. Nature has prepared it that way because God designed it that way. That the most important communication that comes to the human being is in the form of language. And language must be heard very carefully if it is to be understood. So hearing has tuned the senses and disciplined them to be as accurate as possible. Praise be to Allah. So when you see a condition of absent-mindedness and the inability to hear, or increase in that inability to hear, what should that tell you? That should tell you that the society is losing its level of intelligence. The level of intelligence function in that society is diminishing. And that's what's happening today. Brain drain, brain drainage. Isn't that what they say? I'm using that language. Deterioration of the schools, public school system, et cetera, loss in value. Deterioration of the workforce. That's what they're saying. And right along with that is what? This evident impaired hearing. Yes. See how fortunate we are to be Muslims. You have a chance to live. That's what it means. You have a chance to live, to get life again, and grow again, and keep on, and go up. And if you take full advantage of it, you have a chance to perhaps come into the office of rule. Because the most fit will be the ruler. You can't get around that. I don't care what kind of prejudice they have. When it comes to running this government and looking out for the future of this nation, they're going to depend on the most fit. They don't care how black he is. If they got a poor substitute over there, he's white, they're going to tell him, say, look, maybe we can fool the people. We'll put you out there on television, but you're going to have to take orders from this black brother or this black man. They don't care. No, not when it comes to survival. They don't care. So we have a wonderful time here. Allah has blessed us with a wonderful situation. If we work hard and give just respect, due respect to this Quran and to this religion and the life of Prophet Muhammad, we have a chance to rise right on up to the top positions in the world. Oh, yes. Prepare your generations, your children. Teach them to pass it on to their children. Teach them as soon as they get to be old enough to understand. My youngest child, our youngest son is Saudi. And already Saudi have had years of pleas from us, instructions from us, to take up our responsibility and do his part to preserve this life that we have chosen for ourselves. All the children get that from us. And if you are free-thinking African-American, you will see that all your children get it. But if you're Uncle Tom, you'll try to undermine this and hope that none of the children will accept it. I hope that they can be pulled away from it after they accept it. Yeah, we know your mind. But Allah has power over all things. It's not in your hands. Now, dear beloved brothers and sisters, the ayah goes on to say, wa ilayka al-masir, and to you is our God, our goal, our object, our aim, our destiny. They say we hear and we obey. Forgive us, our Lord. See, when your mind becomes alert, your intelligent juices start to work. Then you'll recall and you'll see your own shortcomings. And what comes next is repentance if you're sincere. So we say, we hear and we obey. Then, Ghufranaka Rabbana, forgive us, our Lord. Then we say, Wa ilayka al-masir. To you is our destiny. We mentioned earlier that what will save us is what the average good faithful believer has. Whether he belongs to Christianity or Judaism or whatever. That is, the average sincere person in religion puts God first. Hold God above everything. And they believe they have to account to God or before God. So God gives direction to their life. God gives purpose to their life. Praise be to Allah. So we say, wa ilayka al-masir. To you is the destiny. To you is the destiny. So what did this bring in mind in the conclusion of this talk? A need for aim. Need for purpose. Need for something as a goal to orientate the whole life toward it. Need for unity of purpose. Because if we are divided in our chief purpose, we are divided, sure. Oh, we are divided indeed. But if we are united in our chief purpose, or in our uppermost purpose, then that will unite us in our differences. Won't destroy our unity. For after all, we're human beings. We're going to differ. We can't all be the same. We're going to differ as to how we feel. We're going to differ as to how we think. We're going to differ. But if we hold Allah to be uppermost, foremost, to be the chief concern, if we just hold on to that, if we can have more, all the much the better. If we can have a concept of this religion, of this community, of al-Islam, the Ummatul Islamiyyah, if we could have a concept of this Ummatul Islamiyyah, the Islamic community, and know how the life, the community life is structured, and how it should be operated, that would be much better. But if we have no more than this devotion to Allah, and understand it as a faithful believer in religion understands, that God is foremost, uppermost, He is the chief concern. If we have only that, believe me, that will give some kind of context to our life. That will give some kind of direction to our life. That will give us a goal. The goal is to please God. To recognize Him as the uppermost, the chief authority. That will be in our life. That will be central to our life. And we will be saved if we just have that. The condition of our people now tells us that something has brought about a worsening in their mental makeup, in their social sensitivity, because they are more neglectful now of their social duties, of their home environment, of their home obligations. They are more neglectful now of their duties to human beings, to another fellow human being. There was a African-American that I have great respect for. I forget his name. I'm not sure now. His name's in the back of my mind. He said that from slavery, we came into the church, and the church became our only institution. He established the church as the black people or African-American people's only institution. And we know we built a few schools. Tuskegee, and a few others. But those schools have not been experienced by the great numbers of people that have experienced church life. And it is fear of God, respect for God, love for God. Don't you know fear of God, respect for God, and love for God is what enabled us to endure even the white man's Jim Crowism? The white man's 100 years of lynching, the white man writing us off as equal human beings, as subhuman and monkeys, as three-fifths of a man in the Constitution. Don't you know it was the love of God, respect for God, devotion to God that enabled us to endure that in this history of America? Gave some kind of direction to our life, some kind of form to our life, some kind of purpose to our life. That didn't bring you up. The only thing held you together, enabled you to get this far, was respect for God. Now you dip all red. You want to turn your back on religion. You want to turn your back on true belief in God. You need to be put down. That's right. You need to suffer the situation you are suffering. And I'm sure you're going to suffer worse. until you change that mind of yours.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.